This is the Barbecue Central Radio Show, which is recorded live each Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Barbecue Central Radio Show is being brought to you by The Barbecue Guru, the original creators of automatic temperature control devices, now offering four different models for you to choose from. Rest easy knowing that The Barbecue Guru is controlling your temperature so you can get on with your life. Visit bbqguru.com or call 800-288-GURU for more information. And by Fred's Music and Tasty Licks BBQ Supply, your online barbecue and grilling superstore. From cookers to grills, wood chips and chunks, and everything in between, also be sure to try the Tasty Licks barbecue brand of rubs and sauces. Check Fred out online at tastylicksbbq.com. And by Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. Located in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio, Stephen DeFranco Jewelers is a family-owned and operated business looking to service the great folks of the barbecue and grilling world. Get free shipping and big discounts by mentioning my name and the term Barbecue Brother. Check out their inventory by visiting StephenDeFranco.com. And by Butcher Barbecue, with 30 years of experience in retail, wholesale, meat markets, food service, and customer service. Using that experience, everything they do and sell at Butcher's Barbecue comes from real-world knowledge. Check out their award-winning spices, sauces, marinades, and injections by visiting ButcherBBQ.com. Always trust your butcher. And by Green Mountain Grills. Discover something you'll really, really love. Grilling with pellets. Green Mountain Pellet Grills are the top of the line, best of the best, but not the highest in price. And be sure to check out all of their flavor rubs, sauces, and pellets for the Green Mountain Grill all on their website. Visit greenmountaingrills.com to peruse the entire product's portfolio. And by Barbecuers Delight Wood Pellets. Two-thirds oak, one-third flavor wood, giving you that perfect combination of BTU burn and sweet, succulent smoke you're looking to get all over your meat. A wide variety of flavors, so please go to the website to check it out and get yours today. Barbecuers Delight, which is BBQRSDelight.com.
Hey, this is Helen Paradise from SoCal, and you are listening to the Barbecue Central Show.
Joe B's is only $99 for a big 6-month supply with free shipping, and you get a 7th month free. That's less than 50 cents a day for energy and to feel great. Go to joebees.com.
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Take two. Good evening and welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. The show that talks about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling. Broadcasting live and direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, Ohio. I am your program host, Greg Rempe. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday. Want to get in touch with the show? You can do it one of two ways. It's a toll-free call, 877-448-0433. You can also email the show. Greg@thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are the two ways to get in touch with me. Anything else you want to find out about the show, you can go to the website, thebbqcentralshow.com. Here's what's happening. You asked for it. Coming up in now, 6 minutes. First ever judges roundtable, ladies and gentlemen. Did I just say? Is there an echo in here? We move to the second hour. And Finding Me will be having a conversation right at the top of the show, which I rarely do, with host of Broad Topics, Laura Nickerson. Laura is exactly opposite of me on LA Talk Radio. So we'll be talking with her. 14 past the hour, David Qualls will join me. He is the creator of Smoking at the Run, also a part of the team of American Dream Barbecue team. So we'll talk to him. 35 past the hour, it's an open segment. You get to talk about whatever. A lot of people have been clamoring. I told people, look, when I've left segments open on purpose, Rarely does it work. So it's now I have to reprove myself. So there's what's happening here on the show tonight. Blast off an email right now. Twitter it, Facebook it, whatever you do social media-wise. Everybody knows the show's on. OutdoorCookingChannel.com is the place to send them to. Also, don't forget, if you have, if you've always wanted to get into Internet Protocol TV or IPTV, Roku is the way to go. The Outdoor Cooking Channel is on Roku, and as of last count, just over 40,000 subscribers. Be one of them. You can get it at Best Buy and places like that. We do have the giveaways tonight. Brian Corbett of Smoke and Scully's giving away another six-pack of his competition sauce. There's another $10 gift card at the barbecuesuperstore.com. And one more barbecue serigraph, which is a picture. It looks like this. And you have the opportunity of winning that as well. So very excited. Also, ladies and gentlemen, be under no certain impressions that week two of the Chad Ward Whiskey Bent Barbecue Boycott. It is on, it is alive, and well, he is, by my own account, a full-fledged welcher, a deadbeat when it comes to paying up on his lost barbecue bets. This is, quite frankly, a travesty. When it comes to the Brotherhood of Barbecue, we will not stop this boycott until all debts are paid in full. That's right. Come on now, Chadley. You're better than that. Pay up, you welcher. Pay up. Shave that face. Don't make me come down to Lakeland, boy. Don't make me come down to Lakeland. With a couple of minutes that I do have left, this kind of sucks because I had some time allotted for this in the open portion before I, you know, didn't come out. Today marks, well, actually, it'll be 2 days from now, but the 5th is good enough. Today marks the fifth year of the Live Barbecue Central show. Fifth year. All the way back in 2007, we started this. And how does anybody find anything on the internet? Through Craigslist. I found a listing on Craigslist from a guy named Sam Hassan, who was starting at that point. It was called BBS Talk Radio, which transformed into LA Talk Radio, which was at that point just an hour for the show, 50 minutes. And then interest in the show grew. We added cameras. We added better sound equipment. We added better guests. I became a better host instead of that sucky guy that you heard all the way back when. And we have grown this bad boy into the only show of its kind on any type of radio, other internet shows, television shows, radio shows. It's just, I guess we can rename the show now just the Barbecue Central Show. It's not just radio anymore because you can see me, much to my dismay. And all of this stuff. So, you know, what can I tell you? I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. The live listeners the most because they make the time for the live. Download people, love you too, man. Love you. And remember, live listeners and downloaders alike, we are boycotting Chad Ward and Whiskey Bent Barbecue because he's a welcher, because he does not pay up on debts. Take it to the bank. This boycott will remain in effect until proven otherwise. Come on. Come on. All right. Enough about me and Chad being a welcher. Let's move on. Gang, March 15th and 16th, Smokin' at the Run Barbecue Contest will be held at the Buffalo Run Hotel and Casino in Miami, Oklahoma. This is a first-time KCBS-sanctioned event. $7,500 overall purse. I will be hosting this event, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Entry fee is $200. You get a 20 by 40 spot. It's on pavement. There are a few electrical spots with 20 and 30 amp runs as well. Don't wait around. Visit buffalorun.com. Then click on the banner on the homepage. Full details and contact information can be found right there. Kick the competition season off in spectacular fashion by joining me, along with many other pitmasters who will be vying to be the first grand champion at this event. This competition is well organized, and it's going to be done by David Qualls, who we'll have on in the second hour. He's a competition cook. He knows what it's like to cook in a well-run contest. I mean, you know he's going to put together a great event for you. So again, head on over to buffalorun.com and click on the Smokin' at the Run banner for more info and to get your application for entry submitted. $200. $7,500 guaranteed Benjamin's payout, and me hosting the event. Yeah! It's got to be worth the $200, right? An airfare and wherever else you're coming in from. Absolutely. We're going to have a great time. I would love to see you out there as well, March 15th and 16th. So it's coming up. Smoking at the Run in Miami, Oklahoma, at the world-famous Buffalo Run Hotel and Casino. Again, the website, buffalorun.com. That's buffalorun.com. How about that? How about that? Love it. You join me out there. I guarantee you we're going to have a great time. Plus, if you compete, you might be the first person to say, hey, I remember way back when I won that event the first time in 2013. David Qualls is going to put on an excellent event. I'm going to host an excellent event. It's going to be an excellent event all around. Damn straight. Damn skippy. All right, well, we're going to load up for a judges roundtable, first ever. You stick around for that. I'm going to load up the panel, and we'll be right back. You're listening and watching The Barbecue Show, or The Barbecue Central Show, right here on the Barbecue Central Networks.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. 877-448-0433. Greg at the BBQCentralShow.com. Those are the two ways to get in touch with me if you want to do it. Second hour, broad topics. Second hour, David Qualls. Second hour, open segment. Look, gang, we've done the barbecue roundtable show a number of different times right here on the Barbecue Central Show, all to rave reviews. Easily some of the most popular shows, especially in the download and podcast formats, and tonight we have to change it up a little bit. We're going to go into the tent, if you will. So the first ever Judges Roundtable starts tonight, and could be a recurring theme as well. So let's go ahead over to the inaugural panelists, or the inaugural judges, if you will. Wayne Brown, BJ Hoffman, and Brian Pollock joining me here on the show. Gentlemen, appreciate you joining me. Let me do a quick sound check, make sure we do have everybody. Just say here, Wayne. Wayne.
Hey, I'm here.
Wayne is here. Brian.
I'm here.
And BJ. BJ, you there, buddy?
I'm here.
All right. Beautiful. We're all set. Guys, I guess before we get started, let's go ahead and let me get the proper panel up here. Here we go. Now we got everybody showing up here. Before we get started, let's get through these first few questions, just kind of get them knocked out. We'll start with you, Wayne. How long have you been a judge?
This is actually going to be my third year on the judging circuit.
All right. And Brian, how long have you been a judge?
This is my fourth year.
Brian is 4 years. And BJ?
Third year as a judge, 10th year cooking.
You said third year as a judge?
Yes.
All right. So between you guys, a combined 10 years of judging experience. My math skills know no bounds, obviously. BJ, let me come back to you here for this next question. How many events are you trying to judge each year? Do you have like a specific amount that you try and target to keep the skills sharp, or is it just something of a convenience for you?
I tell you what, as a judge, last year I judged 3 events, and I looked at it as a scouting event, kind of like a Major League Baseball player or football player, to go out and see what else is out there. So, but this year, I'll only be doing table captain.
You're going to be doing table captain?
I am. I had a life-changing surgery in December, and so I can eat about a cup of food at a sitting, and so I'll be on the table captain circuit.
Gotcha. All right. Brian, how many events are you looking to judge, or is it just a convenience thing for you?
Well, for me, I mean, I've done 20 so far. You know, starting last year, I actually threw my hat into the ring, and it started cooking. And so probably in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 that I'll be judging every year now.
All right. And Wayne, do you look to get in a certain number of contests each year when you're judging?
My first year judging, I tried to get in. I actually got in about 10 contests. Last year, it wasn't as many just because of work obligations and such, but I'd like to try to get in at least 10 contests a year.
All right, let me ask this question. I guess I should have done that here before I asked you that. Wayne, where are you home-based out of?
I'm out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, you're a North Carolinian. Brian, where are you at?
I'm in Carroll Stream, Illinois, which is about 30 miles west of Chicago.
Okay, and BJ, where are you based out of?
Hailing from Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa, a barbecue hotbed, Iowa, no doubt about it. The Iowa boys are crazy. All right, so let me ask you this, and Brian, we'll start with you. When you initially took your judging class, if you can remember, what were the two or three things that really stuck with you after you left that you still think about when you're in the tent right now?
Well, of all the things we were taught, I think one of the big things, of course, was non-comparative judging, every entry on its own merits. But, you know, that one definitely stuck out at me.
Is that something that you are constantly thinking about when you are now judging a real-life competition?
It is. Every time I judge, you know, I make sure I taste that piece, I clear my mind, I move on to the next piece. So I don't know if I have two that stick out as much as that one does really to me.
BJ, when you took the class, a couple things that really stuck with you after you left that you are, I guess, that you're thinking about as you're sitting at the judging table doing live competitions?
You know, Mike and Teresa Lake taught my class a few years back, and I think the biggest thing that Mike instilled was every box is its own box, and you don't compare the previous box or the next box to what you had. And, you know, to just be as open and honest with yourself about not how does this compare to your favorite barbecue restaurant, but how does this compare to the best barbecue you eat?
All right, Wayne, go ahead and answer as you are the last to weigh in on that question. A couple things that really stuck with you after you were took your initial class that you think about even at live competitions right now?
The other two guys, you know, pretty much hit the nail on the head with what I believe is really trying to judge each individual entry on its own merits, really trying not to let, you know, my personal favoritism and my personal bias come into play when judging a particular meat. It's really, you know, just taking it for, you know, what it is and how it's presented.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, there was a bunch of like listener-submitted questions that I definitely want to get to, and then I'll kind of mix in some of my own. One of my own is this, and Wayne, you kind of referenced it as far as personal bias. You know, if you don't like, personally, if you don't like a sweet sauce, or if you don't like a spicy sauce, or if you don't like a orange-colored barbecue sauce for whatever reason, and the table captain opens up that box, and you either see a sauce that you think you might not like, or as you're tasting chicken or ribs or what, you know, whatever the case may be, and the flavor profile isn't something that you personally like, how are you able to, A, get through your personal bias and give it a proper score? And how is that taught in class, Wayne?
Is that I assume I'm answering that one now.
Yeah, Wayne. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. It's hard. I mean, it's really difficult to because, you know, like you said, you're trying to, you know, keep your personal bias, you know, out of a out of the judging process and trying to make it as objective as possible. And, you know, I really can't quantify, you know, how I'm able to do that. It's literally just a matter of, you know, just trying to set aside all feelings and say, okay, does, you know, the particular flavor profiles and, you know, what's being done with this particular entry, does it work for this entry? If it does, you know, then it gets a good score. If it doesn't quite work, then that gets scored accordingly as well.
Brian, how are you able to work through those personal biases that you might have? You know, you don't like a spicy sauce, or you don't like a sweet, or, you know, you do like a sweet sauce. And do you have a propensity to potentially overscore a category because you find a flavor profile that you like personally?
You know, I guess I'm lucky in that respect that, you know, I love to eat everything from sweet to hot and I'll barbecue in between. So to me, having been cooking for a long time, even before barbecue, you know, I try to think I set those biases aside, you know, rather well, because I taste the flavors that the cook presents, and it's not so much what I'm looking for, but I look to see if I can see that the cook achieved what he was going for, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. BJ, last one to weigh in here. How are you able to avoid those personal biases on the judging table? And after you're done with that, you know, how do they teach you in the class how to get over that?
You know what? Mike Lake really does a good job of explaining the fact that somebody went to a lot of work to prepare that. So you got to be open-minded and take it for what it is. And, you know, you don't know if you're kind of prejudice against that orange sauce or, you know, a really molasses-y looking sauce or tasting, you don't know until you try it. So keeping that open mind and realize somebody put some time, effort, and money towards it, you know, is the way I look at it. And somebody did something that they didn't have to do to get that in front of you.
Wayne Brown, Brian Pollock, and BJ Hoffman joining me here on the Judges Roundtable. All right, guys, so I'm going to sprinkle in some Facebook questions here, so go ahead and answer it, Will, and we'll start with Brian here first. Garnish versus no garnish. Would it matter if there was garnish in the box at all? If the box was full of meat, would you still like to see garnish in the box if the meat was, or if the box was full of meat, Brian?
You know, I don't have a preference for garnish or not, and in some ways I know there's a huge debate about eliminating garnish altogether. I think, you know, I look at the meat, I judge the meat for what it is. You know, whether there's garnish or not, if it's a five, it's a five. It's a nine, it's a nine. So to me, it doesn't matter either way.
BJ, if garnish was there, go ahead.
Yeah, I struggle with this because I look at getting people involved in barbecue, and sometimes new teams, it's a really big put off to have to sit around for an hour or two building boxes. But, you know, having talked to some of my friends here in Iowa that I compete with, the garnish does set the meat up. It makes it very presentable, and it's kind of like that throne that you're putting your best product on. So I'm going to say keep it for now, but you know, at some point I can see some people breaking away.
Wayne, last one to answer on this question, garnish versus no garnish. Does it matter if you have garnish if the box is full of meat?
I really don't care one way or the other. It's a meat contest. It's not a salad contest. You know, but saying that, we got to make sure that, you know, if you do go the garnish route, that it doesn't take away from the presentation of the meat. If I'm looking in there and all I see is green, the meat isn't standing out, I'm kind of, you know, likely to, you know, score that down because, you know, it's not quite as attractive and doesn't make me want to jump in there and, you know, grab a bite.
All right, so let me ask this follow-up question, guys, and I usually ask this question to competitors, and I'm seeing Diane Mee is asking it in the chat room as well, so let me ask the highly anticipated question. If you were at your next barbecue competition and somebody turned in a box that was not garnished, because garnish technically is optional, which I continue to say is bullshit, Wayne, if somebody opened up a box and it did not have garnish, would you be troubled, and would you be more apt to score down because everybody else is going to have garnish in it?
If the presentation looks good, the presentation looks good, you know, garnish or no garnish. I mean, that's how I look at it. You know, if the meat's appetizing and it looks juicy and it looks, you know, succulent, as you like to say,
succulent,
I'm going to jump in there and want to grab a bite.
Could it potentially set a box apart in a good way since everybody else won't do it? Wayne?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said, could it potentially work in a team's favor if they don't garnish and everything is succulent, as you said, and everybody else is obviously going to garnish? Is that something that could set them apart?
I'm not going to say it's going to set them apart because, you know, again, we're trying to get away from, I'm trying to, you know, not do comparative judging. You know, I'm trying to judge each entry for what it is and literally have that, forgetfulness as to the previous entry. So I would say it's not going to, I wouldn't say it would set it apart, but, you know, if it looks good, it looks good.
Brian, would you tend to potentially score a box down if it's open and there's no garnish when everybody else is garnishing at a KCBS contest?
Would I score it differently?
Would you have the propensity of potentially scoring down?
I would hope not.
I would hope not.
Yeah, no. I look at a box. I look at what the meat is there, right, and I judge what's there. You know, that said, I mean, if a box comes in without garnish, all I can judge is the meat. There's a real subtle difference that a lot of people miss because we don't judge garnish, right? We do look for legal garnish if it's used. And, you know, if you take a bunch of greens, throw them in a box without any care, and dump some meat on top and turn it in and it looks like crap, then the truth is, yeah, I'm not judging your garnish, but if you put in a garbage presentation, you're going to get a garbage score, right? So you need to take care if you're going to do garnish because it's not a conscious decision, but the mind perceives a big picture.
All right,
and
BJ.
That's a subtle difference.
All right, Brian. BJ, go ahead and weigh in on that.
I tell you what, I took an oath as a KCBS judge, and, you know, you don't know the whole story why somebody does or doesn't have garnish in, and I seldomly eat any of the garnish anyway, whether it's accidental. I want the meat, so I wouldn't let that, weigh in on my decision whatsoever.
All right, next question, guys. This person would like to know your opinions about comment cards. We'll start with Brian on this one. Do you fill them out? And if so, what score would prompt you to fill one out? And can you explain why five judges might score the appearance of an entry in 8 or 9 and one judge might score at 6 or lower? Go ahead, Brian.
So starting with comment cards, yes, I actually do fill them out. I typically fill out comment cards when I give something below a 6 for any reason. I think if you get to 6, I think cooks are pretty well aware, at least they should be. If you're turning in something that was it was okay all the way through stellar, then you should at least have some indication in your own mind, right? But anything below a 6, I try to put in why I gave it that score, be it appearance, taste, tenderness, or anything like that.
Wayne, what do you think about that?
I will fill them out. I generally try to limit that to whenever a meat is scored at a 6 or below.
Is there no point when you've tasted something that might be, 8 or 9, where you're like, I'm going to leave a comment card because it's just outstanding and I want to let them know what I like best about it? You wouldn't do that? It's only for bad?
I've thought about it. I generally don't pull that trigger because, if something is just absolutely spot on that day, I think the nines across the board would pretty much signify that.
BJ, what do you think about comment cards and any thoughts on, why five judges might score an entry one way and then there might be one judge on the table that scores it way lower?
I tell you what, I'm a big, big fan of the comment cards. I use them quite a bit. And a couple of table captains at the contest I've been at have said, why do you fill one out? I fill one out if I get a raw piece of chicken. And it happens, Greg. I mean, it's going to happen. But a judge needs to know, hey, 4 more minutes and it wouldn't have been a problem. Or, this is why it was scored low. And then I also give them, if I get somebody with an amazing rib, brisket, pork, or chicken that just, makes me as a cook and a judge say, wow, I wish I could replicate that. They deserve a comment card saying, hey, you knocked this out with the doneness of the brisket. The saucing was perfect. Whatever. Everybody needs to know when they've done something good and not just when they've done something bad. So I might use them a little more than others, but I know the cooks that get them really appreciate them, and I'd advocate that more judges use them. We need that feedback.
All right, one more question here. We got a couple minutes before we get to the first break, and then we'll pick up after that. Wayne, let me ask you this question submitted by a listener. Are you disappointed if there are no burnt ends in the brisket entry box, and would it reflect negatively on the overall score for that entry?
I'm going to say no to both parts of that question. you know, the burn-ins on a brisket may not have been the cook's best meat that day, and I would expect that the cook would turn in the best product that he has available for that day.
Do you hear bitching about that, Wayne?
No, I do not. Of course, I don't pay a whole lot of attention, but no, I generally don't hear it.
Brian, disappointed if you don't get burn-ins in the turn-in box, and will that reflect in a score?
No, I'm not disappointed if I get it, because, you know, I try to go into things with without expectation. You know, a cook's going to turn in what they turn in. You know, I know a guy from last year who actually ruined most of his brisket, and all he turned in was burn-ins. So if you turn the other question around, am I going to be disappointed if I get only slices, right? Or only burn-ins and no slices. So, no, I wouldn't score down for anything like that.
BJ, any bitterness if there's no burn-ins in the box, and will you score down?
No, I just want the cook to turn in the best product he or she has that day, and I want, you know, the best that they have. And if you're bitter about that, and that kind of means you're coming into the judging tent with a preconceived notion of, well, I'm not going to judge a box without or with burn-ins like I'm going to judge another. So you're really doing a disservice to every cook there if you're not being honest with yourself and taking each box as it comes.
All right, guys, I'll turn you down here just for a second. We'll pick up right after the break. We're talking with Wayne Brown, Brian Pollock, BJ Hoffman. Combined 10 years of judging experience between them for the Kansas City Barbecue Society. It's the first ever judges roundtable and going extravagantly well right now, if I may say so myself. Pat on the back. Happy 5th year anniversary with a great show, at least for the first hour. All right, gang, let me quickly tell you about Tasty Licks Barbecue Supply. Fred Bernardo, the gang over there, top-notch individuals, people that I refer out constantly, not just because they sponsor the show. I do business with Fred. I did business with Fred prior to him even coming on the show, which is how much I like him. And then once we were able to partner, I felt very good about it. Because, look, there's unsavory businesses and creeping marauders on the internet all over the place, right? No doubt about it. So if you're looking for an item that you don't have in your hometown or the next town over from that or whatever, you're forced to go on the internet and you're going to be buying stuff. And if you've been jammed up on the internet before, you know, your palms might start to sweat. You're thinking, well, if I lay out my money, am I even going to get the stuff that I want? Who knows? Am I getting jammed up on price? I want to deal with somebody that I can trust. Great news. The gang over at Tasty Licks has your back, relieves you of your internet buying stresses. They have one of the most complete inventories of barbecue and grilling items anywhere on the face of the earth. And all these items that you see on Fred's website are in stock and they're ready to ship to you directly. They carry grills, smokers, ceramic cookers, electric cookers, various charcoal types, wood chunks and chips, cookbooks, accessories. If they don't have it, you don't need it. And on top of all of that, Fred carries many of the other's show sponsors, this show sponsor, right here in his store as well. If you're doing a two-for-one, shopping at a sponsor, buying other sponsors' products from a sponsor, best of both worlds, and undoubtedly. Don't forget that Tasty Licks has their own line of rubs and seasonings as well. Love the veggie blend. Got to try the veggie blend on your veggies. And coming up shortly, in just a couple weeks, the guys from Three Eyes Barbecue Team will be conducting a demo class. They're the 2012 KCBS Team of the Year, some of the best barbecue cooks in the area, maybe the world. Dan Hickson, the team captain and star of Barbecue Pitmasters TV series Season 2, will show you how to do it the right way, the Three Eyes way. And you can sign up by going to TastyLicksBBQ.com to sign up. That's where I get all my supplies. You should, too. A trusted online retailer and proud sponsor of the show. Let Fred know you listen. You hear spots live every Tuesday. That's TastyLicksBBQ.com. TastyLicksBBQ.com. All right. We're going to reload and finish up this judges roundtable right after this. But straight away, your chance to win a six-pack of Brian Corbett's Smokin' Scully's sauce. Get those fat fingers ready, Central Lights. Your turn to win now. Or it is promised, Brian Corbett's Smokin' Scully's. I believe it's called Leave the Bones barbecue sauce. It's our competition sauce. It's up for grab. You don't get one, you don't get four, you don't get five. You get six bottles of this sauce, if you can believe it. All free of charge. Compliments of Brian Corbett and Smoke and Scully. So all you have to do is shoot me an email, and in the subject line, 5th year anniversary, awesome. 5th year anniversary, awesome. Because I'm a nice guy, I don't even care if you spell it right. Just get it in. Your chance for Smokin' Scully's, a 6-pack of their sauce. Good luck.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Voice Backup. Let's go!
All right, gang, we are back.
Give me
877-448-0433. We do have a winner. Congratulations to Mark Gabrick, or Gabrick, however you say it. Mark, shoot me your shipping info, buddy, and we'll get that out to you. All right, let's go ahead and return back to the judges' roundtable. We're joined by Wayne Brown, Brian Pollack, and B.J. Hoffman. We'll go to another listener-submitted question here, gentlemen. I appreciate you hanging with me through the break. B.J., we'll start with you. Do you go out of your way to help newbies, and I guess what they mean is get involved before and between categories? Where do they really start with for a number, and are they remembering stuff from the class, or is this just stuff that you have garnered with experience over time?
I tell you what, there's not many contests anymore that your place setting isn't assigned to you. Somebody like Mike Lake or Ron and Dina Milhouse, great KCBS reps, they'll have the seats assigned, and kind of by, you know, a little bit, sprinkle in some master judges, some other veterans, a few new people. And some contests, unfortunately, have your, you know, non-certified judges, but they go through some pretty strict instructions and stuff. And so if somebody's sitting there with a confused look on their face, I'll kind of nudge them and prod them to maybe ask the table captain to get the rep or somebody. But I try to kind of stay out of getting involved. I mean, between categories, you know, I'll discuss things and answer questions, but I tell you what, it's one of those things where I assume that everybody went to the same judging class, and I probably assume wrong, but, you know, I let them do their own thing.
Brian, how do you help out the newbies, and are you talking to them in between categories?
You know, I am talking to them. I've run into table captains who usually ask everyone about their experience levels at the table to get a gauge for what they're in for, and I've done that as well from a table captain side. And, you know, it's nice to know who your newbies are because, you know, they may need a little bit of extra help between categories in terms of discussion. You know, to your point, exactly what are they doing from class? Sometimes they do get nervous that they're going to score too high or too low, or, you know, so they like to have that interaction to help validate, you know, what they're doing, especially on their very first contest or so.
Wayne, helping newbies and talking to them in between categories?
As far as, like, specifically, you know, going out of the way to talk to a new judge, I wouldn't say I would make a special effort to do so, but between categories, I know I try to engage everyone at the table to kind of get their opinions on what they thought of each particular entry, what they thought was, you know, the best, what they thought was the worst, you know, what were some of the characteristics of some of the entries, you know, just kind of get, you know, overall feedback to make sure I'm not, you know, that judge that's outside of the, you know, outside of the norm. And, but really I would say, you know, it's just by, you know, getting in there and having at it.
All right, Wayne, we'll stick with you here on this one. This is probably like the $10 million question that nobody wants to answer, but are you reluctant to give a perfect score in a competition?
No, absolutely not. I mean, if an entry is absolutely spot on for the day, I have no problem riding nines all the way across.
Okay. Brian, reluctant to give a perfect score?
No, not at all. And I have.
And BJ, reluctant to give a perfect score?
Absolutely no problem giving a perfect score. When, I mean, especially judging contests here in the Midwest, running into boxes from Pigskin, Big T's, Iowa, you know, Smoky D's, those teams, you're bound and determined. If you don't how honest are you with that cook and the work they did that day?
This is the Judging Roundtable. We're talking with Wayne Brown, Brian Pollock, and BJ Hoffman. Brian, we'll go to you for this one. Do you have advice for someone new entering the competition circuit on, I guess, as a judge, how you would suggest them going about nailing what is tantamount to an ever-changing flavor profile?
Wow. And here, my advice actually to somebody breaking into competition was actually not so much about flavor, I guess. So I hope you don't mind if I break from that.
No, go ahead.
It's really more, to me, it's more about get someone from your team through that judging class. It doesn't help you to walk into a contest blind and cook and not have any idea what that sanctioning body is teaching their judges to look for. Get some, even if they're never going to judge a competition in the rest of their career, get through that class so you at least know what everyone else is being told.
BJ, any thoughts?
You know, I couldn't agree with him more. As a competitor, after we went through the judging class, things turned around. But I just think one of the big resources out there is a lot of judges, it seems like, are taken back by what they see when they open the box. I can't believe, you know, that some of these cooks are so meticulous. So going to like a website like barbecuecritic.com and seeing all these boxes from all over the country, so you're not just shocked and enamored by what you see. That's probably one of the best resources that I can think of. And so I would encourage every judge to go over there and see what's being turned in so you're not shocked when you open that box.
Wayne, quick hit question. Do you think that the majority of pitmasters are cooking barbecue that they would not eat in their own backyard?
I don't know. I mean, some say yes, some say no. It really just depends. I can't answer that one way or the other.
You can't put a percentage on it?
Just a scientific wild-ass guess. I'd say 50-50.
Brian, a percentage guess on what pitmasters are cooking, the stuff they would eat in their backyard but turning in at competitions?
Wow. I'd probably go maybe a little less than 50-50. I think what they're cooking at home, if it's just for eating, it's probably not getting the same attention necessarily for what they're turning in.
BJ, a percentage guess?
I would bet 90% of the competition cooks are not cooking the same thing for home. I don't know many competition cooks that would use some of the sauces that we are, as a cook, that you get in that judging box on a Saturday afternoon. So I would think it'd be pretty high.
Yeah, I would probably say 90-10 as well, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Next question, we'll go to Wayne Brown on this one. Has to do with chicken. Do you dissect chicken to determine tenderness score?
No, I generally take two bites. Generally from the two bites, I can, determine a good tenderness score. I'm not going to try to pick a, piece of chicken apart, try to find any kind of flaws with it.
Brian, are you breaking out the scalpel and the microscope?
No, I'm only dissecting chicken at the table to make sure it's cooked through, so I'm not biting into raw chicken.
What about you, BJ? Breaking out any utensils that you would find on a coroner's table to test tenderness of chicken?
No, nothing like that. Only thing I'd say is I'm really particular. If you put a chicken breast in the box and some thighs, I'm going to try both, so they right. better both be, good. Otherwise, if the breast is dry and chewy, I'm going to go with that score rather than if your thigh was amazingly moist and tender. So that's just a good thing to remember. If you're going to put two kinds of meat in the box, they better both equal. Yeah, you'd be equally as amazing as the other.
BJ Hoffman, Brian Pollock, and Wayne Brown joining me here on the Judges Roundtable. We press on, gentlemen. This is an odd question, because I guess one of my biggest bitches about competitions and why one of the things that make me not want to jump right into it is the fact that over the last 3 or 4 years, you've had a large proliferation of cooking classes from a lot of these competition teams. And what I've called the vanillaing of flavor profiles. So, Wayne, we'll start with you. Are you always looking for the same flavor profile in order for there to be somebody getting a leg up on somebody else, or how does it work for you?
I would say no, I'm not looking for the same flavor profiles, because they could widely vary from entry to entry and be totally different, yet still work for each respective entry. So I would say no, I'm not looking for specific flavor profiles.
What about you, Brian?
No, I don't expect anything when I bite into it. I wait for that piece of meat, what, you know, chicken, pork, whatever it is, you know, to tell me what it has that the cook put into it. So the cooking classes that are going on, because you're right, there's tons of them out there. You know, I think those are huge helps for the cook, maybe to teach them the ways that the successful folks are winning. But as far as my perspective of what to expect, it doesn't change.
BJ, any like preconceived flavor profile deals for you?
No, I want to be surprised, amazed, try something new. And, you know, I've been to Big T's and Tippy Canoe barbecue class. And, you know, Ryan and Joe will be the first ones to tell you, you got to do something on your own to stand out. So as a judge, you're hoping to get something that somebody's done to stand out.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that, BJ. We'll stick with you. Do you find overall on the whole that a lot of the stuff is tasting the same?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to call anybody out or anything by brand, but there's a lot of meats sauced with the same thing. Anybody can guess those sauces, but, you know, you hate to run into that. So when you open that box of chicken or pork or brisket or ribs and, you know, they all look the same, you're just praying that, hey, the next box, there's going to be something that much better, even though it's going to look identical. So you just hope that people are, you know, getting those creative juices flowing and doing something to set themselves apart still.
Brian, do you find that on the whole flavor profiles are kind of similar?
I'd say there's probably a big chunk, you know, that I think about over the last couple of years that have really grown into kind of the middle of the bell curve that people are going for, becoming real commonplace. But I'd say 4 out of 10 are in that big chunk, or 5 out of 10. The rest are stragglers to more sweet or hot.
Wayne, your thought?
I would generally agree with what BJ and Brian have said. I do find that, you know, there are some that, you know, kind of fall in that, you know, generalized homogenous flavor profile. But, I would say probably, you know, 4 out of 10.
All right, guys, I got a couple minutes left here, so we'll try and cram in as many questions as possible. Brian, we'll start with you. If a judge recognizes a box, do you think that they might be inclined to already score it high or low, depending on who the team might be, if they recognize it?
Well, I'm going to hope I say no. No, and I say that because I've actually had that happen at a competition where I thought I recognized the box. I couldn't be sure. So I judged it based on what was there, and to the best of my knowledge, it actually wasn't the person's box who I thought it was, because in discreet conversation afterwards, without letting on that I thought I had their box, I found out what they turned in, and it was nothing, it wasn't what I got, right? So, no, I don't really change based on who I thinks it is, and I think that's probably a good example as to why you shouldn't.
BJ, anything?
Besides the fact that it's against the rules.
Yeah, well, of course, against the rules. BJ, if you recognized the box, would you be inclined to score it one way or another if you knew what team it was?
No, I think it's virtually impossible anymore to know whose boxes are whose, because everybody has dental tools they're putting their parsley in with, and people are making, you know, almost like templates to cut meat and stuff. So it'd be virtually impossible, and now I took an oath with the KCBS judges class that I'm going to do the right thing.
Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really don't care. I'm not out trying to say, oh, you know, this looks like this team's entry, or this looks like this team's entry. I don't. I you know, rarely half the time even pay attention to, you know, who's turning in what. So I would say I really don't care. It's not going to affect my scoring one way or the other.
All right, last question, guys, here before I turn you loose, and I appreciate the time tonight. Brian, we'll start with you. Bite-through chicken skin is not a requirement in KCBS rules. I can't imagine that would be taught that a chicken has to have bite-through skin in classes. So if a piece of chicken does not have bite-through skin for you at the table and turn in, will you score it down, Brian?
Okay, so you're right. That's not taught in class, right? That it doesn't have to be bite-through.
Right.
You do, however, have to be able to take a bite of it. So if you turn in a piece of skin that's rubber, it's cooked, but it's rubberized from sitting in that smoker for so long that you can't take a bite, then ultimately you turn that piece in to be judged, and yes, that will affect your score. But I'm simply not going to take a point off just because it wasn't crispy or a bite through just like that, no.
Wayne, your thought?
I mean, as long as I can bite through it, you know, without, I mean, if I can bite through it, or if I bite it and it doesn't, you know, and it's not bite through, it pulls off, but it's not that absolute rubbery, no, I'm not gonna score it down. But if it's, you know, chewy, you know, I can't quite get it, you know, broken down all the way, then yeah, it might get a markdown.
All right, BJ, bite through chicken skin, you know, not a requirement. How do you view it?
Well, if you leave it on there, you got to take it into consideration for that tenderness part. The skin is on, so if it's chewy and can't bite through it and it's not tender, then you, of course you're obligated to judge it for the quality of tenderness. So if it judges down, then that's what it gets.
All right, quickly, guys, anything that you would like to promote or a website you want to get out, BJ, go ahead.
I just want to promote the Iowa Barbecue Society. It's a great society. We just had our banquet last weekend and enjoyed the company of a lot of people. And like everybody, go to iabbq.org and join up. Not to take away from your sponsors, but members get some great member discounts, especially at hogeyesbarbecue.com. They're a great local business that do a lot for the Iowa Barbecue Society and our charities.
Brian, anything you'd like to promote, website, events, or anything?
Who is that?
Brian.
Oh, sorry. I missed the name. Well, no, not necessarily, but you know, my new team started last year, designated smoking area, so I'm hoping to see some of you folks out there. If you see the name, come by and wave. And congratulations on your milestone for the show. That's great.
Brian, thank you for the ass kissing. I appreciate that. You're my favorite tonight so far. Big Wainer, anything you'd like to promote?
Two things. First off, I've been getting messages from a certain radio talk show host that you've been boycotting who's been saying he's been willing to cut off his 6-inch beast live on the air for you.
Well, I've heard that one before, Wayne.
Yeah,
that worked out too well for me. Oh, well. I guess we'll see.
But the other thing is, if you get a chance, come check out my blog, bigwainerbbq.com. Do, you know, rub sauce reviews, product reviews, contest recaps, pretty much anything I can get my hands on. So come check it out, bigwainerbbq.com.
All right, Wayne Brown, Brian Pollack, BJ Hoffman, the initial panelists right here on the Judges Roundtable, which I'm sure we'll do again. Guys, appreciate the time tonight. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Greg.
You got it. There they are. Look at these guys. Pros already. Pros already. Had to get the bite-through chickens question in, of course. All right, quickly. Let me tell you about Stephen DeFranco of Stephen DeFranco Jewelers. StephenDeFranco.com is the place to go. Guys and gals, guess what? In roughly 9 days from now, Valentine's Day.
Uh-oh.
Ladies, get your fellows one of these here. It's a Bulova Precisionist watch. All you have to do is go to StephenDeFranco.com or you can call him toll-free, 440-943-2700. Tell him you want the barbecue brother or sister discount. Ask for Steve when you call, 440-943-2700. He'll hook you up with all the great stuff, all the great pricing, ships free, Watches get an extra year of warranty, batteries for life. You can do free engraving if you want. It's gift wrap. It's sent to you free of charge. Same thing with all the jewelry out there. I do only all of my jewelry stuff at Stephen DeFranco's. You should too. I mean, you don't want to save money? You're better than me? Whatever. You go spend more money and I'll get better jewelry for less the cost. StephenDeFranco.com. That's StephenDeFranco.com. And then 440-943-2700. 440-943-2700. We'll come back to wrap the first hour right after this. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Big name interviews, advice on cooking brisket and ribs, and the only host willing to share his honest opinion on all things important in the world of barbecue. It's the Barbecue Central Show.
All right. We are back. Thanks again to Wayne Brown, Brian Pollack, BJ Hoffman for joining me on the first ever Judges Roundtable. Hope that was good for you guys. Good for me.
It's good for you. It's good for me.
Lots of questions that I didn't even get to. So we'll be able to assemble a new panel of judges and get some new takes from them next time we do that. That could be, literally, that could be a recurring monthly segment. Believe it or not. I do want to mention the fact that there was an archive of the show last week. So assuming the show makes it to archive fashion, January 29th, there was no live show. Well, there was a live show. That's why you got to tune in live, baby. But we crashed about 10:35, and we lost the video file was corrupted because of the crash. Lost all the audio files, so that's why there is no January 29th show. So I apologize for that. Fingers crossed here for this one, folks. Top of the hour interview coming up. And then we also have David Qualls at 10:14. We have giveaways coming up in the second hour. We're locked and loaded. I'm going to get out, refuel. You do the same. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show right here on the Barbecue Central Networks.
Central.
Happy to have you aboard here for the really big barbecue show.
We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Fine, how's it going?
I just like being anywhere with Junior, Senior, and Diva.
Sounds like a whole other type of movie.
Wow. Yeah, really.
Come on, Greg. You're asking a guy whose team name is Pellet Envy. So obviously the answer you're going to get is no.
So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead and he's in the crackle.
How hot is Kelly Ripa in person?
Kelly Ripa is super hot. She's absolutely delicious.
Oh, yeah.
You can butter baste her and pint pinkies with that girl. She's delicious.
Succulent fish. What?
There's no Robert Porker who's in charge of pig meat out there.
You could use it to fight off creeping marauders looking to take your steaks off your grill.
I'm shaking like a dog shitting peach seeds.
Keep it hot, keep it clean, keep it lubricated. This right here is the premier media outlet.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Top.
All right, gang, just like that, we're in the second hour. Thanks again to Brian Pollack, Wayne. Wayne Brown. And BJ Hoffman. That was awesome. Hey, Chad, I got something you can get behind. Welcher. Do you think I'm falling for that? I might have been born at night. Plus, I told my dad on you. Loser. All right. Here we go. Your votes make it. Should we let Chad Welcher Ward, pitmaster of Welcher Pit Barbecue, shave his big fat face live on my show? You weigh in. And it's yes or no, and whoever gets the most votes, we'll see what happens. There's a no, 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 no. Oh, man, this is terrible, Chad. Looks like you're not going to get in.
Get that free stuff out of here.
Look at all those no's. There must be 15 no's up there right now, all in succession. Oh, my Lord. Well, I tried. Tried, guys. Sorry. Hey, the majority rules. Majority rules. Actually, get those clippers shaved up, fat boy. It's time to shave. Yeah. All right. Oh, here we go. You ever have a friend who's a Mr. Know-It-All? John Dawson, Patio Daddy-O Barbecue, I told you that was a bad plan. Well, okay, Mr. Armchair Quarterback. Look, as big as this show has gotten, I don't forget where I came from. I don't forget who I grew up with. And Laura Nickerson and the gang over at Broad Topics was the show that came right after me for years. And after I outgrew that, this isn't a technology fail. This is not a technology fail. Chad, get the clippers ready, baby, because you're shaving your face. Buy my Stephen DeFranco watch in roughly 25 minutes from now. So get that Skype cam ready. I will call you at 10:35 or whenever I feel like it. And then you can make good on your bet. And then you can explain to the Centralites why you have decided to welch for 2 weeks. Liar, liar, pants for hire, I think as Patrick Starr would say. Well, what can I say? Hold on. Now we got a bicker. John Dawson says I was just trigged by the broads. Well, good news. I can tell you this. We're going to find out if Skype has an issue because I'm getting ready to call David Qualls here in just a sec. And then, we'll see. We'll see, my friends. I have told 7 people this week, look, you want to step up that barbecue and grilling game? You know, get the right equipment, get a good pit. Don't cheap out and buy the El Cheapo Brakeman piece of crap.
Get that big stuff out of here.
They're like, well, what else can I do to be a winner? I said, hey, you can stop on over to ButcherBBQ.com. You can order the well-known injections, the pork injection, the beef injection, and of course, that prime injection, which is combined. All of the things loved with their beef injection, using its award-winning flavor enhancer and its ability to keep your brisket juicy. They have combined it with what has become competition standard in beef flavor. Available for sale right now at ButcherBBQ.com. Also, maybe you have used another injection. Look, we're not going to sit here and hold you hostage and tell you what worst idea you ever made. Scores start to tumble. Friends start to not talk to you anymore because your product has been lackluster because of that injection. Dave and I, we understand. We wanted to put something together. Check that. He wanted to put something together for you. Somebody who has been affected by bad injection. Don't throw it out. Don't waste that money. Package it up. Go to Dave's website, butcherbbq.com. Go to trade-in link. Print off that label. Send it to Dave. Boom. He'll get it. He will weigh it. And then he will send you back in return prime injection, beef injection, or pork injection. It's your behest. You don't have to waste money anymore. It's great. It's a pound for pound, pound for pound, if you know what I mean. Ladies, pound for pound trade-in, and it's only happening at ButcherBBQ.com. Of course, a full line of award-winning rubs and that Butcher's Barbecue sweet sauce, which I love. I tell everybody to get a box of 6 because it's going to go crazy fast in your house. Everybody likes it. And no worries on breaking the bank when it comes to shipping either. Items totaling up to $55 ship at $8.50. Between $55 and $200, ship at $9.75. Anything over $200 ships at, wait for it, free! Head on over to ButcherBBQ.com. That's ButcherBBQ.com. All right, what do we have to look forward to next? David Qualls. What do we have to look forward to after that? Whiskey Welcher Barbecue. Heyo. Your phone calls and emails as well. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Radio Network studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. 877-448-0433. Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. Those are two ways to get in touch with me if you want to do it. Apologize for the failure of the top of the hour, but what are you going to do? I'm a Renaissance man, for crying out loud. Leave me alone. All right, my next guest tonight, a competitive barbecue cook, heads up the American Dream Barbecue Team. He's also the person responsible for helping put together the first annual Smoking at the Run barbecue contest, which is set to come off March 15th and 16th. Let's go ahead and race over to the hotline. First timer to the show, but long overdue, David Qualls joining us here. David, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg, how are you?
Well, I can't figure out what the hell is going on with Skype over in Los Angeles, but it was one of the worst experiences of my life. I got to be honest. Appreciate that you are up and running here, David. Before we get into the competition and all of the great stuff that we'll be talking about tonight, maybe a little background about yourself professionally, and then how you kind of got into this competition barbecue thing.
Oh shoot, I don't even know where to start on that. I got one of these cheap Brinkman smokers for a wedding present. And by matter of fact, we'll be married 25 years next week. And
congratulations.
I got it out and read the deal, started smoking, started liking it, you know, and then never did do any competitive cooking until about, 98, 99. I was managing a casino in Cripple Creek, Colorado, and they had a kind of a community barbecue contest. And I bought a Kingfisher at the state fair by then and took it up there, and I think we won brisket and second ribs. Of course, it was the sanction thing, so I immediately thought I was a barbecue expert. Never cooked another one until in my home, Tecumseh, Oklahoma, they put on a contest that I helped do, and I just cooked in it just kind of green. And we cooked that in 2009 and 10 and then in 11, and I think I went to Slidell in 11. And this last year, I told my wife, I said, you know, let's get serious about barbecue, and that's where we went, and we kind of started the American Dream name because Dusty Rhodes, the wrestler, is a real good friend of mine.
Oh,
and that's, you know, how the name came about.
Man, you know I'm going to ask about the name because every time I say the American Dream Barbecue Team, I think of the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. So that's crazy.
Well, if you look at the character, those guys who have seen my, my shirts and stuff, I had the barbecue guy. He actually drew a good likeness of Dusty in our logo. And so that's how it is. That's where it came from.
Wow, that's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, we're calling this year the 2013 Funky Like a Monkey Tour.
Well, so here's the question right out of the bag, now that I know all about this. Why the hell are you having a stupid idiot who's got an internet radio show come down and MC the thing when you could have Dusty Rhodes? Come on, David, what do you do?
Boy, you got to remember, Dusty Rhodes wasn't nothing without Gordon Solie. You're the Gordon Solie barbecue.
All right, there
you are.
I will take the compliments.
Vince McMahon Jr. barbecue.
I will take the compliments any way I can get them, David. I certainly appreciate it. By the way,
you need to be hawking that Pitmaster show instead of these dudes we don't know in the derby hats and stuff. It needs to be you.
That's right. I appreciate it. If you want to check out the website, we're going to be talking about the Smoking at the Run contest. You can go to the main website, buffalorun.com, and there's a banner right there down at the bottom. Or you can go to my website, thebbqcentralshow.com, and there's a button down there towards the bottom right. Click on that, and it will take you right over to the competition website. Dave, you know, you've done a few contests here. You're kind of a newer team, but you've had some really good finishes. When did you start really thinking about putting together an event of your own? How does that come about?
Well, we had always done the one in Tecumseh called Smoking Thing, which will be the first weekend in June again this year in Tecumseh, Oklahoma. But there was no really early contests, you know, around Oklahoma and in that northeast area. And so, you know, I'm associated with the management of Buffalo Run Casino. So I talked to my partners and said, hey, let's have an early in the year sanctioned KCBS barbecue contest here at the casino. You know, we'll do some things that'll draw people to town. We'll draw some teams to town to show what we can do. We're used to running facilities like that. We have an outdoor amphitheater that we've had 16,000 people there for Rascal Flats. We run the world's largest, richest poker run every year for the last 8 years, the Buffalo Bike Run. And so, you know, doing a barbecue contest logistically would not be a challenge. Now, doing it on the third weekend of March will be a logistically weather challenge for us. But then again, we all know as cooks, you know, if it's coming hell or high water or 6 foot of snow, we're still going to keep cooking. So we're going to be there. And it's an early year to break the rust, you know, early in the year to do it. So that's why we picked that date and decided to let's give it a try. And if it works, you know, we'll do it again next year and even make it bigger.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of, you know, my next question was, you know, there are a few things that really make this Smoking at the Run kind of a unique contest. The first thing is the fact that it's a sanctioned contest by KCBS this early in the year, and it sounds like that was part of the attack. The other thing, of course, is the fact that this is a first-time contest, so, you know, there might be some pitmasters that are going to be able to say, you know, hey, way back when I went to this first-time contest in Tecumseh, Oklahoma, or Miami, Oklahoma, and won this Smoking at the Run barbecue competition, took that grand championship. Do you think that there's a little bit of a take or a bring to that event to say they were the first one ever?
Well, yes, and it's first one ever, and it has the legs to be a legacy contest, too. You know, it could be something that goes on every year after year after year because, you know, we believe to make something successful, you don't just do it once and say, well, it didn't work. And I can tell you, you know, just from the entries that have came in, and we're still 6 weeks out, are phenomenal. And I'm going to cap this contest at 50 teams because I want it to be a cooker's contest, and there's no use to having 70, 80 teams when for team of year points, 50 over is all you can do. I'm paying out $7,500, 10 wide, or excuse me, 10 deep and all the way across. So 10th place in every category, 10th place overall is going to come home with real hard cash money and a plaque. Pirate 50 is doing our first place trophies, and they make those very nice hand metal 3D type trophies, first place in every category in Grand Reserve. So you'll have some iron to take home, plus, you know, it'll be a memorable deal because it's put on by a cook for a cook.
Yeah, I actually have a couple questions in regards to that just a little bit later here. But, you know, you've been to some pretty big events as a competitor, David, and you make that turn to now putting on an event versus competing in it. What are your personal goals for the event? What would you like to see come out of it?
Well, you know, first of all, I mean, I'd like to see enough for it to qualify, which, you know, we've already got almost 30, I think, as of today, 32 or 33 teams, so obviously we're there. We have a governor's proclamation, so it's going to be a Jack qualifier and a Royal qualifier. And I just want the teams, you know, to come in and have a place. And it's early in the year, so I don't want you to have a lot of distractions as a team to be able to come in, get your new recipes going, or, you know, break the rust off of being off all winter and just have a good competition cook and that camaraderie that goes along with a barbecue contest. The way I look at this is, you know, my wife and I cooked 21 this year, last season, and you know, we got lucky enough to hit a grand championship in our first year, got lucky enough to hit a 180 in brisket, and we went to the Royal, and that was just so surreal. But we met so many people that we had a blast being around, and it's kind of like a family reunion, but you leave the family home on Saturday afternoon. It's not a competitive thing like, well, I'm against you and I don't like you, you're the enemy because of your competitor. So I wanted to break this contest out early and just kind of, you know, make it the first of the year reunion.
David Qualls joining us here on the show. The website, buffalorun.com, and you can find the Smoking at the Run banner down there. You can also visit my website, thebbqcentralshow.com, and link over from there as well. David, what do you think makes, I mean, you've done, you know, especially last year you did quite a number of them. What do you think makes a good contest? And what do you have in place, aside from the prize money and, you know, the payouts and the iron, as you say, or the hardware, to really give you the best shot at having a great event first time off?
Well, I think the big thing is plenty of planning, plenty of volunteers and staff. And like I said, you know, because we do such large entertainment events, you know, we're ramped up for that infrastructure. What you advertise, deliver. You know, if you say you're going to give 2 bags of ice free, make sure you have 2 bags of ice ready when that team needs them and extras. You know, if we're going to have a cook's meeting at 5 o'clock, make sure that there's no hidden surprises. Everything's there because the team rolls in. You know, and they know exactly what to expect and give them what they are to expect. If it's a new team, though, have someone there to help that new team along and make sure the reps understand that this is a new team. We may have to talk to them a little bit about the rules or coach them a little bit. So just give the teams nothing unexpected. That's it. You know, I think that's what makes a good contest is just when you roll in, you know what to look for.
All right, and you said you're going to be capping at 50?
I'm going to cap at 50.
All right, and how many open spots do we have right now?
I'm 32 paid, so I've got about 18 spots right now. I'll probably take maybe a couple of standbys just in case something happens. And but I plan on capping at 50, so you know if you're going to get in, you need to get in now. The water's just right.
All right, so at $200 for an entry fee, what does a team get, and what are you advertising that the teams can expect then?
For $200 entry fee, we're paying out $7,500. You're going to get a 20x40 spot at minimum. Now, if you roll in, need a bigger spot for RV, we've got plenty out there. We're on paved parking. I'm going to have at least 20 amps of power for every team. We have a close availability to water. You know, obviously good garbage pickup and things like that. Good security, good well-lit blacktop parking lot. And, you know, I'm planning on having good judges there. We're getting good response from CBJs and master judges. And I've got two of the best KCBS reps that I feel that I saw through the last 20 contests, and Dennis and Linda Polson there.
Yep.
So we know we're going to get a good contest.
Anything else that might draw people to the contest day?
Well, other than the fact is that we lay claim to the loosest slots in Oklahoma. And if you're in that, Joplin, Pittsburgh, Miami market of TV right now, you'll see why are so many people from St. Louis and Kansas City driving to Buffalo Run to play, because we claim to have the loosest slots, and we're proving it every night with winner, winner, winner.
Absolutely.
Have I mentioned that I've been in the gaming business for 24 years?
Hey now. Look at that guy. Loose slots. You had me at loose. That's all I got to say. All right, so we got the entry fee down. We got the amenities down. Again, this is going to be March 15th and 16th, the website buffalorun.com. Is there a phone number, David, that people can call and get in that way as well?
Yes. Call 405-598-7575, and that'll ring straight to my cell phone, and you can talk to me. I'll answer any questions. Also, smoking@buffalorun.com is the email address, and then the website, like you said, buffalorun.com, and click through to get to the smoking page that has to download for the app.
405-598-7575 is the cell phone. smoking@buffalorun.com is the email address if you want to get in. And I got a bunch of people here on the instant chat here saying that they are paid and that they are in. For some reason.
And one big amenity that we're forgetting is that Greg Rempe will be there live to MC the event, call out the winners' names, shake hands, kiss babies, pat wives on the butt, live and in person.
Yes! I'll take that. Especially a lot of that last part that you mentioned. David Qualls joining
us. As long as your wife don't hear.
Absolutely. David Qualls joining us here on the show. So, you know, let me transition a little bit. This is going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a lot of teams coming and me meeting teams, because that's like one of the things that I really enjoy the most is actually getting out from behind the console and getting out of Cleveland and meeting these people that I've talked to week in, weekend out, each and every Tuesday. But if I could, let me kind of back out of the contest here a little bit, Dave. You know, the American Dream Barbecue team, probably, you know, more like the majority of teams on the competition circuit, that being not doing 30, 35-plus teams. What do you like best about competing in barbecue events? Why do you do it?
You know, and like I said earlier, we're married 25 years next month. It's the first thing Chris and my wife has actually done together as a team. You know, I'm not a golfer or a bowler or a fisher or nothing. I don't play in the local bridge club. So we've had a lot of fun doing this. It's just her and I. Our baby is 29 years old. So, you know, Ashley's grown and gone out of the house. And so it's been something that we've been able to do. And we get to see Middle America. I love going to these contests like Iola and Girard and Emporia, where they're all built around a county fair or something, you know, a community event. And people are just glad to see you. You know, you go to Yates Center, Kansas, and you park on the football field and have a barbecue contest in small town America. That, you know, that beats setting, you know, in the middle of New York City trying to get lunch at Tavern on the Green any day of the week to me. And that's why we do it, you know. And cooking is a craft, you know. It's your art. It's just your exhibition of art. You know, they may not have liked mine that much this week over Dave Bosca's or Scott Key from Little Pig Town, who, you know, we're all playing for second when those guys are in a contest. Yeah. But, you know, we get to see where we are with our craft and then go forward from there. But nobody, you know, ever gets mad at each other because they got beat, because at the end of the day, we all just cooked a piece of meat for somebody to taste, and we're at the judge's deal from there. It's not like a boxing match.
Yeah, we're not looking to knock anybody out. We're just looking to have a good time and take home the winnings if possible. Dave,
exactly.
You know, you see barbecue on TV more and more these days. Teams and memberships continue to grow regardless of sanctioning body.
Exactly.
As a newer team to the circuit, how do you see the future of barbecue?
You know, it's going to grow, but it may plateau. You know, if you remember back a few years back, poker was literally dead in the casinos. And then Lyle Berman started a TV show called Poker After Dark, and it made a big deal out of the World Series of Poker, and it got really hot, and it blew up, and it got really big, and now every casino had a 10-table poker room. Well, barbecue's doing the same thing. It's getting big, but it needs to organize, needs to get some sponsors, it needs to get some champions, but it doesn't need to lose life. That it's still a mom and pop, a husband and wife. It's a two best friends weekend outing. And, you know, I think we need to not lose sight of the fact that it's not all has to be a world champion guy event to do it. You know, it there's areas for it all the way around.
You have the largest sanctioning body in the world, Kansas City Barbecue Society, obviously the most popular. Do you see them at a point now where, and I've mentioned it a number of times during this, you know, 8 years I've actually done the show, whether it be in podcast form or live, where I've asked people, hey, you know, isn't it about time? This thing has grown out of seismic proportions of what Gary and Carolyn Wells might have thought it would ever grow into, and turn it into a for-profit. Let's get a CEO in there. Let's get somebody in there that knows how to bring sponsorship in and really turn this thing out.
You know, it don't need to be a for-profit organization. I mean, you can still maintain a 501c and take this thing to a super top national level. I mean, look at the American Cancer Society. Look at those different benefactor organizations that have top CEOs that know how to generate money. You know, those aren't for-profit corps. That's not the issue. What you need, and like I said this one time actually in your chat room, is that the membership is far outgrowing the ability of leadership, and that's just a growing pain problem. But if you wanted to mirror KCBS with anything, and I said this before too, that's the rodeo category. That's the stock car racing, motocross, NASCAR racing. Those people, those organizations appeal to families, not just individuals with athletic talent or specific skills. And if you were going to go chase someone that was an expert in that, you don't need to go get the best chef in France to build your barbecue empire. What you need to do is get somebody that knows how to assemble the masses of a family type organization. And you know, that's where KCBS will jump to the next level. You know, I'm totally support KCBS and think it's doing a great job, and they have been more than went out of their way to help us with our contest. They've done everything to make sure that this contest is a success from their standpoint. It's just, it's great that there's 14,000 people that are members of a body, and I don't want to lose their interest, you know, if KCBS needs to look at that and realize that, you know, we've got a multi-million dollar membership here. Let's not lose them simply because we're riding a wave of barbecue pitmasters for the last couple of years.
David Qualls joining us here on the show. David, one more question here before I let you go.
Sure.
And you've had a out of the park first showing here on the show tonight. A lot of people in the chat room wondering if we're going to be putting together like a House Barbecue Central show on Friday night, where I'm interviewing people. Is that like a possibility?
Well, you probably ought to. You know, we'll have a big old tent in there, the judge's tent. Of course, you know, we've got a couple of joints that you can go and get something cool to drink. And if you'll actually show up on Thursday night, you can come and buy a ticket and see Trace Atkins live right on the same ground. But yes, maybe you ought to have a barbecue show live on Friday night.
All right, well, we'll see what we can put together audio-video-wise for that, and maybe we do a little private house show for everybody that's coming to the Smoking at the Run event, or we're talking with David.
Well, we have ample bandwidth there for you, too, if you want to do that.
Perfect. All right.
You know, we've produced many live televised boxing matches there as well. So, you know, we have the production facility and the ability.
All right. So we'll talk about that a little bit more maybe off-air, David, but for now... phone number 405-598-7575. Email address smokin@buffalorun.com. And of course, the website buffalorun.com if you want to jump in. There's about 18 spots left. So, as David said, water's fine. Jump in now. Don't be left out in the cold and take part in this first time event. David, appreciate the time tonight and look forward to seeing you in March, buddy.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks so much.
You got it. There he is. You know, I'm not even talking so much about, like, you know, broadcasting live from the event. I'm talking about house show, you know, like wrestling where they don't televise it. Get me a microphone. Fast Eddie's going to be there. Hell yeah. You know, give me some other pit masters. Let's get up on a pedestal. Let me do like a house barbecue central show right there where I'm interviewing people on Friday night. Maybe some guys that aren't cooking because obviously, you know. That probably takes precedent because you want to win. Why not? Sounds great. We'll see if we can't hook that up. You guys, you coming in, you just want to foot traffic in and watch a live house barbecue central show? We'll see if we can put it together for you guys. You know I'm down for the central lights. Can't wait for that. March 15th and 16th. BuffaloRun.com. All right, gang, maybe you've been looking into automatic pit temperature control devices. Don't look anywhere else other than the Barbecue Guru. They're the creators of the technology. They've been doing it for years. Why would you look anywhere else? Patently ridiculous. Now, if you're not familiar with how these little beauties work, I'm not going to get into the minute details, but imagine a product that allows you to set your pit temperature, and once set, it keeps it running at the set temperature all the way through the cook. And it's not too good to be true. It's real-life technology. It's happening today. Because, hey, look, maybe you're like me, a busy working professional. Perhaps you're constantly on the run with kids doing errands. And quite frankly, you just don't have the time to run around and or sit around pending pit temperatures. That's where the Barbecue Guru comes into effect. You set it. It keeps it right there. It's got your back. You can run around, get work done, take the kids to the YMCA, to a birthday party, shop at Target, or as I like to call it, the French superstore, Target. In the meanwhile, before you've left, you put on pork butts, you put on brisket, you put on ribs, you set that temperature, boom, you're ready to go. Now, maybe you're in the market for a cooker. That's fine. Guess what? You can buy one here. It's called the Onyx Oven, and it wins a lot. A lot. Both on the competition trail, in backyards as well. It's fully insulated, holds a tremendous amount of meat, accommodates half and full pans for food service, works seamlessly with any Barbecue Guru pit temperature control device, of course. Now, do yourself a favor. Head on over to thebbqguru.com. Check out all their products. You know, aside from the cookers, aside from the automatic pit temperature control devices, they have the Guru Club, which starts charcoal fires. They have that Barbecue Guru product that makes your own hardwood charcoal. They have the Holy Smokes Meat Max. They carry a bunch of sauces and rubs as well. Head on over. Post haste. Or you can call them directly, 800-288-GURU. That's 800-288-GURU, 800-288-GURU, or visit thebbqguru.com. They'll make sure you're outfitted with exactly what you need to get you up and running right out of the box. 800-288-GURU or thebbqguru.com, the Barbecue Guru, a breakthrough in barbecue technology. All right, coming up next, Chad Ward will be shaving his face because he's a welcher. But straight away, your chance to win a $10 gift card from the Barbecue Superstore. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Half the time on the show, where we give stuff away for no money. That's why it's free of charge. You can win. Now it's time to give stuff away.
Oh, now we've stirred up controversy. If I'm going to do a show in Oklahoma, it's just going to be a house show, not for broadcast. You got to get out there. Suck it up. Get out there. Ed Marin's coming, for Christ's sake. You don't want to see a legend? You don't want to see Eddie? Shame on you. All right, gang, you can win a $10 gift card to thebbqsuperstore.com, the barbecue superstore, right now. If you send me an email and in the subject line, Chad Ward is a Welcher. Got to spell Welcher right. Chad Ward is a Welcher. And you will win a $10 gift card courtesy of thebbqsuperstore.com. Again, in the email, Chad Ward is a Welcher for a $10 gift card to thebbqsuperstore.com. Chad Ward shaving his face. Good luck on the prize.
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back, 877-448-0433, Greg at thebbqcentralshow.com. I suppose this was supposed to be an open segment. Let's see if we can't get a winner here. Melissa Boone, Basic Pack, Chad Ward is a Welcher. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a winner for the $10 gift card of thebbqsuperstore.com. That is Basic Patrick. That bitch wins everything. Can't get anything past that guy. It's crazy. So congratulations to Basic Patrick. You know him as Patrick Paquette, a regular listener. So don't email anymore, you people. You're crazy. Patrick wins. Patrick, send me your shipping information, and we'll make sure. Actually, you don't need to send me anything. I'll get that over to Richard over at the Barbecue Superstore, and we're all set to go. All right. Joining me now, unscheduled, I guess you could say, a man who knows how to welch in seismic and gargantuan proportion, pit master of WhiskeyWelchBarbecue.com, Chad Ward of Whiskey Welch Barbecue. Chad, how are you, buddy? Chad, how are you? Chaddy. Chadley. Oh.
Greg.
Chad. Chad.
Greg, hello, 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 hello.
Chad. Chad. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, dear? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Chadley? Hello? You there?
Chadley? Hello?
Hold on, hold on. Hello?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Quit listening to the show live on the air.
Hello, you son of a bitch. Quit listening to the show live.
Turn off everything. Hi, I host a show, and I call in the shows all the time. Yeah. Is this Chadley? Is this Chad Ward of... of Whiskey Welcher Radio? Welcher Barbecue in the Pit. Hello? You in there?
Yes, I am.
All right. All right, shave that goddamn thing off your face right now, you son of a bitch. Shave it.
All right.
Do it.
I'm going to come in and shave it off.
Wait, 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 wait. Let's say hello to your wife first. Hold on. Take those earphones off. Put them on your wife. No, no, no. Put them on your wife. Come on, let's see. Let's see. Come on.
I don't want to listen.
Come on.
Come on.
Hello?
I'm unhappy about this. You can hear from me.
Hi. What's your name? What's your name?
I'm trying to walk.
Oh, look at this. Nicole is shaving Chad's face. Oh, look at this. Shaving nicely. Look at this, son. I'm going to go full screen. Look at this guy. Manning up. Welching a little bit. Less and less by the second. Wow, look at that. And go right to that chin. Take that chin off. Everybody wants to see it. Oh, look at this guy. Yeah! Chadley! Look. I think he's crying. Is he crying? There's no... Uh-oh. Do I, wait, now
he's
I feel
not
kinda,
crying. I'm crying.
Now I feel kind of bad. I'm lying. I don't feel bad at all. That's right. Get that hair off your face, you Chad Ward. That's right. Look at that. He's clean shaven. He looks like he's lost 50 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. This guy is crazy. Look at him. Wow. All right, Nicole, what are you thinking right off the top of your head right now?
I hate Greg Rempe.
What? Wow. Now, Nicole, in all fairness, Chad made this bet with me, and I think he's getting the better of the idea, because I was going to have to shave my head.
That's your own problem. I don't have to like either of the situations.
Oh, wait, you're shaving his head. I just said shave his face. Wow. Wait, leave the porno stash. Look at this guy. He's going full head. No, leave the mustache. Absolutely. Wait, what do you drink? What kind of whiskey is he drinking? Plug it.
He is drinking his Crown XR Reserve from David Kimbrough for his Grand Championship.
Dude, look at this guy. He is going full Cue Ball Jones right here on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I know. Wow. Now, Nicole, I just want to make sure that we understand that the shaving his head was not part of the deal here.
Well, he technically keeps his head shaved all the time, so...
Oh, all right. Wow, look at that. He is manning up in seismic and gargantuan proportion. Do you usually shave his head for him like this, or is this something that he would do normally?
Occasionally. I don't do it all the time. Only if he wants to look nice, like for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Leave the porno stash. No, don't take that off. No!
No, I'm taking that off. I have to live with him. I don't care if he wants the porno stash.
Leave the porno stash on. Oh, no! Wow. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. This is great.
You gotta clean the back up before you get to work tomorrow.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Nicole.
Good night, guys.
Thank
you
very much. I hate you. All right. Beat it.
All right.
Chadley! Bringing it strong. Look at this guy.
Are we good? Are we good, Rempy?
Well, dude, you even want full head shave.
Yeah.
Wow.
I sort of make it right. I welched.
Well.
I was like.
Well, now we can't call it a welch. Now we have to call it a delay in payment.
And this sucks.
Yeah?
I've been able to go to the...
All right, so you're roughly 38 seconds in to no long goatee. Look, and I got to be honest, Chad. Look, I'm not gay. There's nothing wrong with it. If you want to be gay, you be gay. I don't know if that long thing on your face was doing anything for you. I'll be honest. Maybe I just helped you out. You don't even know about it.
No.
No?
No. I'll be honest with you, Greg. I look much shittier right now. I look much shittier right now. Okay? What?
All right. So let's split hairs here just for a second while we have a couple minutes, Jen. First and foremost, everybody's saying, you know, you great job on you. The 2-week boycott of Chad Ward is now off. Are you drinking XO Crown Neat?
Yes.
Man's game. That is a man's game right there, Chadley. That's how they roll down there in Lakeland. So do you think, if we're splitting hairs here, no pun intended, do you think that it's a bigger deal that you took your chin hair off? Or that if somehow, through miracle fashion, Bubba Q would have jumped over True Bud Barbecue, do you think it would have been worse if I would have shaved my head? I mean, look at me. God shit all over my face, head, and neck. And he has blessed you with movie star good looks. Who do you think got the better of this deal?
I mean, Greg, I think I did.
Really?
I mean, if you look at it, I'm a bigger fella, yeah. And I've revealed some chins here tonight. But if you revealed that headline of yours,
no,
holy shit, bro.
It would be the worst thing ever. Talk about me never getting laid ever again.
It would be real big.
It could be the size of the moon. Look at this. You know I'm hiding. This is fake hair. You know it.
But hey, it was all a good gentleman's bet. We had a good time with it. Once again, I'm sorry for being late to paying up to you.
Look, you don't have to apologize now that you did it. Secondly, you did it. Thirdly, we're never making any more bets ever on the face of the earth. I win. I'm going out on a high note. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's fine. All right, so weigh in here, Chad. I mean, personal feelings aside, host feelings aside, you seem a little bit pissed off.
About what? I'm not mad.
You seem pissed that you got your chin hair cut off. Really? No. I mean, your horse.
No, I'm just kind of looking at it
You might be crying.
It's upsetting me.
You look almost like you want to reach over to your right shoulder and take some of that chin hair and tape it on your face.
I'm not. I'm not upset. No? I miss it. And now I'm worried about what it's going to do to me at Sam's Club next weekend.
What? Now, hold on a second here. I mean, we all know that pitmasters potentially could be some of the most superstitious people on the face of the earth. You're coming off of a grand championship this past weekend. Why wouldn't you wait? If you're that superstitious, why wouldn't you just welch out another week and wait and see what happens?
Randy. You put a 2-week boycott on me on Twitter.
Hey, you would have done the same thing to me, you son of a bitch, and you know it.
I respect you.
A little less now.
No, I know you would have, but you know I respect you.
Yeah.
You know that I like what you do, and I had to answer the call.
All right, now look.
Hey. We're going to cook good enough next weekend to go on to the regional.
All right. You only have to finish in the top six. So, you know, just bring the B-plus game. You'll be fine. Obviously, the flavor profiles are working. Your Green Mountain Grills, your Bradley. Is it Bradley Smokers? What do you, Southern. What's the other smoker that you're using now?
Southern Bread.
Southern Bread Smokers. Your Three Eyes Barbecue Rubs. You know, all that stuff is obviously working well for you right now. Did you make any adjustments in that very short off season to get you that bump up to Grand Championship right off the bat? Well, I guess second in. Sorry, not right off the bat, but I mean two in. I mean that's pretty good accomplishment.
We had to make some adjustments because last year. We got our ass in to do us pretty well. So you kind of got later in the year, and you had the new cooker coming out. You had the GMGs, and then we made some changes. And it turned out well for us last weekend. And that's a tough crowd, Greg. That was a really tough crowd there.
Yeah.
You had the guy that cost me my beard, Barbecue, there. You had Myron there, and you had all the other top FBA teams, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, Swamp Boys, and Team Unknown, but yeah, it was a good win. And based on the half-ass year we had last year, it was a good thing to have.
All right, so here's what we know. First of all, Chad Ward just won Grand Championship this past weekend. He actually plays very respectively the weekend before at the Pig Festival. Which has that was like 80 teams all by itself, which is is going to be hard. Anything over 20 is going to be a pain in the ass. He also shaved off his chin hair, which he's had. How long have you had that chin hair on?
It's I've always grown a goatee. I grew it that long once I found out I was cast for Chopped, which was last January.
All right, so we're almost on. It was last January, so it was a year ago. All right, so a year ago, so he's had that on for at least 12, but he's had the goatee on. So right now you have, kind of a rustic look to you. Pretty handsome, I got to say. Nothing wrong with that. And then here's the great news. You pay
it's
up on the belt.
It's kind of a shitty look, Greg. I'm not going to lie to you.
It looks,
look at him all jowled up, son.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's new, so it looks weird. Just like when I shaved off into my mustache, when I shaved off, my goatee for the Guy Fieri thing that never came to fruition. And I put on that porno stash for about 6 seconds, and my daughter said she was going to rip her eyeballs out of her head because I looked weird. Yeah, that kind of weird. It'll be fine in about 2 days. I don't know if you're going to get any lady love from Nicole there. Sorry about that. That's the thing I'm most sorry about. She seemed very not happy about that.
Hey.
Yep.
Thanks for letting me come on the show and square this up with you tonight, brother.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're going to get, obviously, the Barbecue Central Show Karma rolling into next weekend, so you don't have to worry about it. And you'll be right into the regional round, brother.
So, hey, can we come on the show? If we go regional, can we come on the show the next week?
Yeah, you got it.
Talk about it.
No doubt about it.
All right.
All right, Chad Ward is the pitmaster of Whiskey Bent Barbecue, host of Whiskey Bent Barbecue in the Pit. You can hear it every Tuesday on blogtalkradio.com. 7 to 9, it precedes my show, which you should definitely check out. Chad, you manned up, you paid up, and we're all good, brother. Appreciate you doing it. There he is. Chadley! Paying up! Now beat it. All right, can't call him a welcher anymore. That dude paid. No doubt. Paid in full. Paid in full. Yeah, oh, don't worry, Mike. I'll shut up. I'm shutting up right now. Boom. All right, I have a Gorilla pellet cooker. Yes, I do. Love it. Now, when I got it, first thing I thought of was Candy Weaver and the folks over at Barbecuers Delight. Why? Widely considered to be the pellet resource for pellet-fired cookers. That's right. Whether on the competition trail or in your backyard, folks choose Barbecuers Delight wood pellets more than any other brand for their superior quality and flavor. You should give them a try as well. You can find them at bbqrsdelight.com. That's bbqrsdelight.com. No, Patrick, no Gorilla giveaway tonight. Now, maybe you don't have a pellet cooker. No problem. You can still take advantage of the pellet revolution on your gas or charcoal grill or smoker by grabbing the cast iron pot option. Buy yourself a nice sampler pack of pellets. You load 1/3 cup into the pot and then place it into your cooker or grill. Let that sweet, succulent smoke take care of the rest. Now, maybe you're not familiar with pellets. Let me give you a little insight. When pellets are made, all of the air within that cellular structure of the wood is evacuated, thus concentrating the wood into a very dense form, much denser than natural trees. And as compared to other wood flavor enhancers, pellets will yield more intense smoke more quickly. And now you don't have to soak them in water or anything like that, so they're very easy to use. It's a process that is sterile, so the smoking product that you're using has no contaminants in it, and you don't have to soak them in water prior to use. You can blend the flavors, and the results are consistent each and every time. It's fabulous. Now, here's something to remember. When you're buying Barbecuers Delight pellets, you buy that one-pound bag. It's 100% pure wood flavor. If you buy it for your fueled cookers, your pellet-fired cookers, 1/3 fruit wood, 2/3 oak gives you that nice, consistent BTU burn and smoke flavor that you're so desiring. So do yourself a favor. Head on over to Barbecuers Delight right now. That's bbqrsdelight.com and buy their pellets. Check out all the flavors that they have. Stop fussing with the sticks and the chunks and go to Barbecuers Delight, the choice of competition cooks and backyard hacks just like me. bbqrsdelight.com straight away. We have your chance to win the barbecue serograph, a picture of barbecue and grilling succulents. Your chance to win coming up next. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Now's the time on the show where we do stuff away. Yeah. It's free and you don't have to pay a thing. That's why it's free.
All right, you can win a barbecue serograph. Compliments of DerekArt.com. Can also be found at MrRetro.com. Now, this will be sent to you. You can then frame it, hang it wherever you like, barbecue or grilling, or wherever it lives most in your house. Please keep it inside for crying out loud. Thanks again to Derek, D-E-R-E-K, DerekArt.com. And or Mr. Retro, MR, MrRetro.com. Also, thanks to Stuart Sandler for hooking this up. Look at this thing. You don't want this in your house? Of course you do. Now let me wipe out the green as I normally do each and every week. All you have to do in the subject line, Chad Ward Man's Game. Chad Ward Man's Game. You can win the barbecue serograph. Compliments of DerekArt.com, MrRetro.com, and Stuart Sandler. Good luck!
Get in the smoke. Call 877-448-0433 to get on the air. Now, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we're back. Thanks again to Chad Ward for manning up and unwelching. Very good. Very good. Looking for that winner. And, oh, looky here. A little karma coming back. Wayne Brown wins the barbecue serograph. Wayne, send me your shipping info. And I'll get that to Stuart Sandler. He'll ship it right out to you. So you get the same thing I just showed you. All right. We are over time here, so I'm going to have to do a quick exit, as they say in the business. All the way back in the first hour, we did the Barbecue Judges Roundtable. Wayne Brown, BJ Hoffman, Brian Pollock joined me. That was substantially awesome. Second hour, a failed attempt at broad topics. What happened? David Qualls talking about smoking at the run, buffalorun.com, or visit the website, my website, thebbqcentralshow.com, link over from there, and do it. And then, Chad Ward shaved off his chin hair and made good on his bet. Awesome. We're packed next week. Sam Zion will join us for sure, plus other guests. If you have raw cast iron, get rid of it. We don't want it. Wait.
No.
All right, I saved that. If you do cook on raw cast iron, season it each and every time as it starts to cool down after you use it. Hit that brush on it, get the bits off, and then a little Crisco, a little Pam. You're good to go. Also, September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. Once again, thanks to Chad Ward for manning up, shaving that beard off. That was awesome. And to all my guests tonight. We'll see you back at next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your program host and proud U.S. American, Greg Rempe. Good night now.